Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
The championship season is over, and what a season it was.
But the best is yet to come. It's the playoffs.
Who will make it to the Premier League?
And who will be left heartbroken at Wembley?
Stay across it all with The Second Tier.
We're bringing you episodes after every leg.
And in between, we're revisiting the greatest moments in playoff history.
It's real conversation with two real championship obsessives.
So you can be in the know about everything happening in the playoffs.
And share all your new knowledge in the pub with your mates.
So come join us.
We're your one-stop shop for the playoffs.
Search Second Tier in your podcast app.
And hit subscribe.
Can a game be cagey and open? Turns out yes, yes it can. Welcome to Ramble React. I'm Pete Donaldson.
And I'm Andy Brassel.
Oh, Andy Brassel, last time we did a Ramble React, you were wearing what can only be described as a body warmer. You've gone for a wee coat. You've gone for a wee coat this time round.
No, it's a body warmer.
Still a body warmer. Different body warmer. Wearing,
no, same one. What I'm wearing under it, seriously, if you paid this much for a body warmer, you'd be wearing it all the fucking time as well. Right. The jumper that I'm wearing under it is less chunky than the previous one.
Right.
So therefore it looks like the body warmer is covering more of my body.
I see. It's warming more of your body, so to speak.
Yes.
I see. Yes. I get it. Andy, you work so very hard because you have to keep yourself in resplendent in expensive body warmers. And I'll tell you what, I walked past a painter in the street and he was listening to your voice and it was very discombobulating walking past basically your voice in my street and a man was painting a window.
Yeah, well, in fact, you did send me a video of that on WhatsApp. But what I enjoyed is, firstly, it was taken from behind a car that was not your own.
Yeah.
And secondly, it was about 6 seconds long, which implied to me that either you're going to bring Vine back single-handedly or you were sort of doing it surreptitiously and
massively
sort of bottled it and ran off.
Absolutely massively. It was a longer video, but I did get I did almost trip over my dog. I just didn't want to startle the man. I'll level with you, Andy. He looked a bit rough. And and he's a fan of Andy Brassel. He probably works cash in hand. And he's the and I'm just saying that's the kind of quality of man that Andy Brassel has in the palm of his hand. He's Andrew Tate for the Dulux generation in many ways, is Andy Brassel. That's what I'm hearing.
Don't mess with the Brassel Ultras, bro. Don't mess with them.
I'm joking. I'm sure he was absolutely fine, enjoying some excellent... Was it TalkSport? I presume it was TalkSport. Anyway.
Yeah, it was.
It was. All right. Yeah. Well, in the football tonight, Everton won, Crystal Palace won. As I said, it was first half, it was cagey, but also quite open. And it just seemed to be... I don't know what it is about these two football teams. When Everton get up to speed, It always looks quite basic, like high-driven crosses from the left. But when Crystal Palace sort of move the ball, they look like a decent ball-playing side when they fancy it. And they're quick, and they've got lovely triangles going on when they want to. And they've got talented footballers, but they just don't do it often enough for me. So I do think that their league positions kind of befit where they are as a ball-playing side.
Yeah, well, I think it's, you're absolutely right about Palace particularly, because I don't know if it's sometimes perception becomes reality. And I think sometimes perception does become reality. But I think you looked at that and the feeling that it was an end of an era that, with all love for Roy Hodgson, had really started to weigh on them big time and started to weigh on the club big time. And there was a sense that Palace were a little bit liberated. Now, maybe this was a sense of, because it was Everton's home game and where they are in the table, and the feeling that everything Everton did was underpinned by a bit of tension. Mm. Now, that might be the way it always is. You know, you think of the atmosphere at Goodison Park. They feel sometimes, and I feel that if you forget the 10 points that have been taken off them, I feel that the performances have been better than the results for quite a lot of this season with Everton. Mm. And, you know, the fact that they sort of find themselves in this sort of trough of profligacy a lot of the time at home, which, given the forward players they've got, shouldn't really be happening. But we saw that again tonight. And it's this sort of cross between, like, outright mania that's propelled by Daesh, and then this tension that holds them back with Everton. Whereas I think with Palace, there was a sense of, not exactly free hit, of course, because it was a very important game for them, but a feeling of, oh yeah, right, okay, we're starting again. It's going to get better from here on in. Mm. And they just felt as, it felt as if the occasion was weighing on Everton more than it was weighing on them.
And you could kind of tell from, like, DCL's headers and finishing, and it just, they look like they couldn't buy a shot on target at certain points, Everton.
Yeah, actually, I've got a question for you. Mm. You know that Newcastle were obviously really interested in him at one point. If he was available for under 50 million, would you take him now in the shape that he's in?
I mean, that is the problem, isn't it? I mean, haven't we got enough? We'd need a bigger treatment table, surely, wouldn't we? I mean, we've got enough. We've got enough problems in that department. We've already got like three or four forward players in the treatment room. He's not scored since November, I think. He just looks like short on confidence, and he doesn't necessarily look like he's beating himself up, but he does look very frustrated when he can't get a shot on, when he can't just like get a header on target and stuff. And for a player who is so gosh darn handsome and fashionable and 6'2", he kind of should be for me.
Yes.
Because he's got everything else going for him. And I think if he's going to let us down in this position, in the one position in life he's less successful, that's the thing that's making him all the money.
Yeah, well, you know what? You should have had a winning goal tonight. Mm. And, you know, really, he had it in exactly the spot that he wanted it from Dwight McNeil and still couldn't put it away. I just wonder if there is a point where, like, Daesh looks at it and says, you know what, we've bought Beto, should we give him a run?
Yeah.
You know, because it's unlikely that they're going to start them in the same team too often, isn't it? But, you know, will they get to this point where they think, look, DCL's great, he has been great, is current him great? And it's a question, isn't it? You know, I mean, even if we take away, I guess what I should have said is, when I was asking you that question about would you have him for Newcastle before, it's like, I'm not even really talking about the injury bit. When they can get him on the pitch, and they've managed to get him on the pitch more this season than they have in a while, is it still there? Or, you know, are we thinking about him as the player that he was two and a half years ago? And is he still that player? Is he still capable of being that player?
I mean, you can't really use him at this point in time as like even a hold-up man. Yeah, you can't even sort of use him as this kind of like big Hossolu character.
Oh, Newcastle United to you, isn't it?
But yeah, it was an really, really interesting game and in certain aspects anyway. I think the commentary team sort of gave up halfway through, started calling Palace awkward. A lot of love for Mark Bright in the crowd. There's a lot of shots of Mark Bright for obvious reasons because he was sat next to the new manager. But like, I mean, I've never... I've not seen that man get so much screen time since he was going out with Michelle Gale when they were like the hottest the hottest couple of the 90s, for crying out loud. It was really, really good stuff.
Ian Wright's listening to that, saying I thought me and Brighty were the hottest couple of the 90s.
Exactly. Ray Lewington was leading from the dugout after Roy Hodgson's departure. You could really hear him on the Sky broadcast, but he's not going to be there for very much longer, you would imagine, because Roy's out and there won't be any room in the backroom staff for him.
I think that's the thing, Pete. I think he's thought, well, it's not as if I have to save my voice for training tomorrow. No,
exactly. I'm heading to Ibiza.
I might as well go for it. Yeah. You know, you're sort of going and signing on Friday, going, yeah, I can't do anything that involves public speaking for a month. I mean, so you're just going to have to cover me.
I mean, producer Vinad did point out that he was wearing shorts in the running order, but I would say that it has been quite a warm day in London, I think it's fair to say. It has been all right.
Get off. It's a Monday night on Merseyside in February.
I'm just saying it probably is quite similar up there. That's all I'm saying.
Unless the coach broke down on the way and he had to get out and have a look at the engine, there is no excuse for him wearing shorts.
That's true. That is true. When Decorah in the first half smashed a loose ball against the hoardings, I thought, why haven't we got dynamic advertising hoardings? So, like, it has sensors on it. If a ball strikes it hard, it has like the idea of like a window smashing or something, and you've got get your glazing at Steve's Glazing. I imagine Steve's Glazing couldn't afford, you know, millions of pounds for the advertising. But why don't they have dynamic advertising hoarding? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, it's a really good question. I mean, we almost reached that point. Do you remember the time where England were playing away in Croatia?
Yeah.
Gary Neville passed it back to Paul Robinson, and it hit a divot. He missed it, and he took an air shot, and it went in. Famously, they had the advertising for the Borat film that was coming out at the time, didn't they? So they had a grinning Sacha Baron Cohen in triplicate behind the goal.
You could not have bought that.
As Paul Robinson airshotted it. Yeah.
I would be very... it would be very difficult not to pass to... Remember that little... It was an insurance dog. It was like a sausage dog that would...
Churchill.
Was it Churchill? No, I think it was an insurance... Yeah. It was like a sausage dog that would tootle around. What? He's not a sausage dog, is he? I thought Churchill's like an old...
He's a bulldog.
Isn't it? But like, this is sausage. I can't remember which insurance brand it was. But that dog used to walk along. I used to get very excited that there's a dog on the pitch. I mean, Palace continue the habit of exclusively scoring amazing goals from outside the box. AU hitting an absolute banger. It's one of those things where, like, Palace do go on runs of just scoring just unbelievably accomplished hits from outside the area. Their goal of the season competition is usually pretty decent, isn't it?
It is, and Jordan Ayew is, and I'm a big fan of Jordan Ayew, by the way. He is very much a quality over quantity sort of man. I mean, he scored some unbelievable Premier League goals, and I think that's a noble addition to the list. Also, to follow it up as well, the knee slide as well. Now, yes. I understand that there's been a little bit of precipitation, but as my eldest son was saying when he was watching, he was saying, you know, you only can dream of being able to do that sort of knee slide when you're in your 30s.
Yes,
okay. It's amazing.
Is that kind of, are your Ben's kind of big aficionados of the whole knee slide?
Totally. It's the only currency that counts.
Do you put
only
them through one all draws on a Monday night? They could be playing Minecraft, Andy. Do not subject them to your miserable life, all right? I'm not having this. I'm going to stage an intervention. Let them play Pokemon, for crying out loud.
I thought you were going to say let them play poker.
Let them play poker. Anything else.
Why not?
That's probably meant more than journalism. Your journalism.
Yeah, you've got a better chance of making a living from Texas Hold'em than journalism in this day and age.
All right, coming up next, we've got Crystal Palace's new manager, of course, Roy the Boy's legacy, and James Tarkowski's flirting game. We'll see you in a second.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by BetterHelp. Life throws many different challenges at us, and as a result, we all have our own sources of stress. Whether big or small, those stresses can impact our lives in unpredictable ways, and if we don't address them, they can have an outsized and unwanted impact. Therapy is a safe place in which we can address these issues, learn to understand them, and find ways to work through them. Having therapy can be beneficial to anybody, not just people who've experienced major traumas, even if you may have not considered it before. It could be simply a time for you to get things off your chest, a way to learn positive coping skills, or how to set boundaries. Ultimately, it can be whatever you need it to be. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and BetterHelp will match you to a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Let's not take the piss here.
I certainly was.
Well, I think you are.
Joe Tarkowski in the post-match. He did the post-match. He was interviewed by the Sky Lot after the game. And he's wearing these kind of like the sort of headphones that you only really got for free with Sky Magazine in the 90s. Like over ear, back of the head, little rotters. Like none of your like, you know, Behringer or Shure headphones. These are like proper like freebie stuff you get on a flight kind of headphones. Very disappointing.
Yeah, tour bus sort of business. Like city tour business.
City tour, exactly, yeah. Well, he's been apparently, not even apparently, I saw the trailer for the TV show. He's been in the spotlight in Amazon's new documentary about the lives of the Premier League's wags. He's talking to, I thought it was a complete stranger to him, it's actually his wife, I believe.
I know.
And does he talk like that to his... Like, he just seems like he's just met her for the first time. And he's not even laying it on thick. He just looks confused. He can't deliver his lines. Even for pre-rehearsed, overproduced Love Island-style reality TV, James Tarkowski, it's too much for him, bless him.
Yeah, and I think it just makes me think of, like, my friends and their personal relationships in a totally different way. Because, of course, like, you know your friends and you know their partners and their families and stuff, but you can never really know what's going on behind closed doors in another family, can you? Mm. But it's just made me wonder, you know, do you sort of, like, you know, go over to your partner and go, "Oh, you're proper fit, you," while they're doing the washing up or whatever.
Well, I do that, actually,
it's slightly,
Andy,
more clunky about you getting well.
I'm a horny old man, so have you know. all right, well, let's move on to, let's talk about Everton for a little bit. I mean, obviously, they are in a slightly strange situation. They've obviously got points hanging over their head. Things might happen, things might not happen. How do you even... Have they got the best person in the dugout for that particular job? I would suggest they probably have. You need someone who's a bit level-headed. Yeah. They're not going to lose their minds. They've been in football quite a long time and they can be quite sanguine and quite understand that the game will go on and you will, you know, you'll probably find another club. You'll go somewhere else. But for now, can you just work really hard for me, please?
Yeah, I think so. And I don't know. We've said it before on the Ramble. if there's a season that you're going to lose 10 points, this is probably a good one to do it, because I still think they'll be okay. Obviously, they'll hope they get their points back and it completely skewers and mullers the competition, just like Juventus getting points taken off them and given back and then taken off them again did in Serie A last season. It's the sort of thing that the Premier League and we watching the Premier League think it's immune from, but evidently not with the tightening of the financial rules at the moment. And you know, who knows what will happen with Forest going forward, especially as they're in a similar spot in the league at the moment. But I think Everton on the whole have done quite well not to panic over what's happened. You know, they're still out of the bottom three as things stand. Now, with Sheffield United and particularly Luton, the tail has wagged big time. But I think if Everton are honest with themselves, they know they're much better than those three teams at the bottom, like much better than those three teams at the bottom, and better than everyone else in the bottom six, really. So, you know, you feel that if they stick to it, they'll get enough to get away from it.
Well, let's move on to Palace. Obviously, that's the big story this week. Roy Hodgson has departed the club. It was announced this afternoon before the game. The club have confirmed, great news, that he is out of hospital and he's well. And he obviously spent time at the club between 2017 and 2021. Came back last season with the club just 3 points above the relegation zone. And then they finished 11 points above it. It's hard to overcook that particular achievement, because they did look... It was a slightly false kind of position that they were in, but they were only going in one direction. And that is a huge, huge thing to keep a football team in the Premier League, with the pressures and distractions that take place. Like Roy, well, we can talk about Roy Hodgson's legacy. This may very well be his last football management position, though... Obviously, with a man who really does love the game and genuinely, you know, he backs himself to have had a pretty stellar career in management. He probably will have a crack at another job at saying that. But what will his legacy be at Palace? I mean, we can talk about the aspirations of that club and how difficult it's been for season ticket holders to watch the same thing for about five seasons. He can sort of look back and sort of say, well, I achieved something at that club. I kept them in a league with, you know, not a huge amount of money, not a huge amount of backing.
And as we said on Friday's Ramble, Pete, I think what's been quite sad really in recent weeks is that he's got quite crotchety and defensive really about the reaction of the fans. And the fans' discontent has never really been fully focused on him, I feel. Obviously, you know, they knew when he come back what he was, the way he coaches, the sort of team he produces, and fine, they needed that to close out last season. But if they didn't change a coach last summer, you know, that's on the club. That's on Steve Parish and the people who run the club. Now, if you look at all the banners that have been in the stands at the home and away games, and you think particularly when they were getting belted at Arsenal, that's an obvious one, as well as Brighton. You know, those banners were talking about the direction of the club. They were talking about Parish. They were talking about John Textor. They weren't really aimed at Roy Hodgson. But it's been sad that he's taken it very, very personally. And perhaps, as you were saying, that's the biggest indicator that he feels this is the end, really, of his career, certainly in top level, full time coaching. You know, that doesn't diminish anything that's gone before. But I do feel bad for him that he's had to go through this moment. And you know, I'm sure when it gets to the end of the season and Palace are fine, you know, they'll think back and be grateful for what he did for large parts of the time that he was there. But it does feel, of course, that, as we were saying at the top, that Palace have already moved on, really, because they were ready for this to happen. And you know, you've got this young, dashing coach, 30 years his junior, already spent like most of his signing on fee on a nice Canada Goose to keep the cold out, all the rest of it, looking like super dashing and ready to make Palace sexy again, and all the rest of it. But you know, they're in a funny position as a club, aren't they? And we've talked about them, and there've been other clubs who've been in that position before and got themselves into all sorts of trouble trying to evolve. And I think you think of Southampton, Swansea, if going back all the way, Charlton, that sense of we're never going down, but we can't really qualify for Europe. So what are we for? You know, I think it's natural that any fan base starts like picking holes in the way they play, or certain players, or the coaches, or whatever. You know, how do you get past that? There's no obvious answer, really, is there?
Is the Championship going to be the purists' league? I get the sense that it probably will be at some point. Just get that. Give us a playoff adventure at the end of the season, and we don't even want to go up. We are done with the Premier League. The pressures are too high.
Just Wembers.
Just give us Wembers. Yes. Just give us Wembers, for crying out loud. But like Roy, as a manager, obviously as a multilinguist yourself and someone who loves European football, I mean, it's the road less travelled for a man of his vintage and a man of his the part of the world that he's from. They don't always travel quite so successfully. Is that fair to say?
No, that is fair to say. But I think as well, you can sort of look at Hodgson and the fact that he's well-read and discusses books with journalists and stuff, and say, well, he always had this spirit of adventure, and people come out with stuff like that. It's not really true. I mean, he went abroad because he couldn't get a chance in England, really. And I kind of wonder if that's maybe a template for other coaches. I mean, God, you look at Pardew's last three jobs in like the Netherlands and Bulgaria and Greece. It's extraordinary, really. But, you know, it's something that we talked about on the Ramble mailbag recently, wasn't it? It was last Saturday's one. That sense that, you know, maybe there are not a lot of chances for English coaches, so they'll have to go out and try something different. And Hodgson's kind of a template for that, isn't it?
Yeah, and especially because, like, managers... Simply because of their age, it qualifies people who possibly don't have quite so much of an anchor in certain parts of the world. They can travel a bit more because maybe they've got grown-up children. Maybe they feel like there's a job out there for them. And also the disparity between the top and the sort of mid-level manager and a poorly paid manager is probably not all that much. And then you've got your Jurgen Klopps and your Pep Guardiolas and stuff. But like in the middle, I mean, you're only getting a few thousand pounds a week anyway, you would say. So you may as well do it on the Costa del Sol or something. I don't know.
when you said Jurgen, I thought you were going to say Jurgen Klinsmann for a second. It's like no one wants to be that sort of itinerant manager, do they?
I mean, no, you know. Good point. Yeah, I mean, just if the amount of like hotel, because whenever I leave a hotel, I've always got one of their hotel card key cards in my pocket. And unlike Peter Reid, who never gets in the hotel room, he just loves the ambiance of a nice cocktail in the hotel bar. I'm very much I will use the hotel room, but I will steal your keys at the end of it. So I've always got some nice collection of hotel car keys. But Jurgen Klinsmann will have so many different ones from all around the world.
Yeah, or you know. There's so many different devices with a Zoom account on it. One of the two.
Yeah, exactly. What a life. Do you reckon he even does Zoom Premium? I reckon he just does normal Zooms to cut everything down to 45 minutes only.
Yeah, probably. I could just imagine him in a team talk going, we've only got 1 minute left, so two banks of four, everyone behind the ball when they've
four
got
two.
It.
Speaking of playing everyone out of a position for no good fucking reason, Steve Bruce is apparently interested in becoming the new South Korea manager. Son will feel like he's done national service after that, I tell you what. Playing at left back, good God. I mean, it has been the day for... We had Joey Barton linking himself with a French Ligue 1 job, didn't we?
Marseille.
I think, today.
Like
the Marseille.
I know he loves a bit of like self-delusion, but even still, come on.
Even still, come on, mate. Yeah, it's been a day of like linking yourself for jobs you're never going to get. But I don't know, Steve Bruce, it's potentially had quite a high-powered job in recent years. I'm trying my best, Steve. I just want you off the, out of the picture for Newcastle. I just need you out of there, to be honest. But yeah, he's. I don't know what the Korean version of bacon is, but
I can't wait for him to get hit by a flying pak choi at a subsequent Asian Cup.
Yes, yeah. I'm trying to think what the bulgogi. Bulgogi, is it?
Yes, I
bulgogi,
think so.
Is yeah. it? Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, like, again, he's a man who likes he likes a long holiday, and this, I mean, it would be the very definition of a beautiful job. Pitch up in somewhere like, I don't know, somewhere in Malaysia or something, and just sort of, yeah, you know, commute back and forth. I think it's the very definition of a blummin' great job.
Yeah,
well, let's take it back to Palace. Obviously, that's kind of who we're supposed to be talking about, not, you know, globe-trotting German managers. Oliver Glasner is thought to have ironed out the details of his deal at a hotel in London on Friday night. Andy, you're the man for this particular job, as heard on TalkSport earlier on. What will he be bringing to Crystal Palace? What will the painters, the length and breadth of Crystal Palace, be enjoying?
Well, a really successful coach. I mean, they've done well to get him, particularly at this point in the season, because he's been hanging out for a Premier League job for a while. It seemed that a couple who were asked about the Palace job a month or two ago were a little bit reticent about taking it at this point in the season, and you can understand that because you don't have a pre-season to work with them, etc., etc. And he's got a very specific way of working. He'll sort their defence out. So it will be, I think, evolution rather than revolution from Hodgson. So, you know, he's produced some very successful teams, but those successful teams, particularly at Wolfsburg, were built on very, very good defence as well. So it doesn't feel as if, you know, they've tried to go in different directions before, and they've always come back to Roy because it's too much of a cultural change. Whereas I think with Glasner, they will be able to evolve quite nicely. And, you know, we're talking about like breaking through that, obviously, for Crystal Palace, glass ceiling, and sort of getting into a point where they could like challenge for Europe or whatever. I think there's an outside chance of that going forward, because he's a really accomplished coach. Like Wolfsburg, with the players they had, never should have qualified for the Champions League. And Eintracht Frankfurt never should have got in the Europa League final and won the Europa League, and then obviously got in the Champions League, where they landed a few blows in that as well, getting through to the knockouts last season. So, you know, I think they'll do really well. I guess the question is, where are Palace going to go from here, if we're talking about Glasner over the medium term? Because he's someone who's ambitious. He walked out of Wolfsburg and Frankfurt because he felt in both cases that they couldn't really quite match his ambition. So I guess a lot of Palace's future is up for question, because it looks like John Textor is going to sell his 40% share in the club at some point. So does the next shareholder back Parrish to keep running the club? And if there's new owners, do the next owners match Glasner's ambition? Obviously, they're going to redevelop the stadium to an extent as well. So it's kind of exciting times for Palace. Not Frank de Boer, like,
necessarily on the field.
Craziness. yeah, exactly. Right. It's slowly catching monkey, I think. It feels like they're going to do it at a reasonable pace. Like, Glasner's a really sensible appointment. I guess that it just wouldn't be completely out of character if he did a really good job and then got to a point and it was like, you know, where are we going next? And they didn't really have an answer for him.
But much like when you said it's probably a good season for Everton to absolutely ship 10 points at the end of a lawyer's pen, it's probably quite a good season for Palace to find themselves where they are now. You could probably say they could probably just kind of glide to a pretty tepid finish.
We're using so many terrible Palace metaphors here, aren't we? Glass ceilings, gliding glass ceilings. To safety. It's just awful.
Yeah, I just think with him coming in, I think he's not about like big money spending, and he wouldn't be at that club if he was. But it seems to me from what I've heard, he is a good fit for kind of just steadying the ship, get the end of the season, and then really kind of investing the time in, like you say, getting the defence up and running.
And I'm just saying as well, Pete, he did get the absolute best out of Wout Weghorst as well.
Oh, so, there you go.
So, I mean, who wouldn't love to see our favourite anti-vaxxing six and a half foot number nine back in the Premier League?
I certainly would. Yeah. I certainly would. Well, look, good news for Crystal Palace. I think that was a kind of plaster that I think a lot of fans probably felt that needed to be taken off sooner rather than later. But it all doesn't start and end with the dugout. They are 5 points clear of the relegation zone as it stands. On the subject of Bundesliga managers, Thomas Tuchel is under huge pressure after Bayern lost again this weekend. If Tuchel has to go, though, apparently, and this is from like, apparently okay sources, not like the thumb in the air absolute Sun talk. They're apparently considering Ole Gunnar Solskjaer until the end of the season. Like, have they? I mean, I guess looking back, it probably, he did go quite deep in a couple of competitions, and also the other managers have had terrible times at Manchester United. But is this the solution? Is this?
Well, I think you know the answer to this, don't you, Pete?
No, give it Ole till the end of the season.
I mean, it's funny because United,
Man United, Bayern Munich, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer will have managed those two teams. I'm loving it.
United did get an incredible new manager bounce out of Solskjaer. We've got to remember that. I guess the other thing is that, like, I wrote in my Guardian column today that I don't see Bayern getting rid of Tuchel because there is no plausible alternative. So already we're onto the non-plausible alternatives. So Solskjaer, we had Hansi Flick mentioned earlier in the day, which, you know, was amazing for Bayern the first time. But bringing him back into a dressing room that hasn't really got many leaders, I think a lot of people are looking at the fact
Hodgson-esque.
Yeah, exactly.
Bring him back.
Well, there we go. Give Roy a week off and then see him pitch up in Munich. Excellent German already. Well, why not? But of course, like, part of this is because Thomas Tuchel, apart from standing there on the touchline after they lost at Bochum, for goodness sakes. I respect Bochum, but, you know, Bayern can't be losing there for the second time in three seasons. And he stood there going, but we had an XG of 3.4. We were really unlucky. I mean, you can't be saying that. And then, of course, you had his assistant, Zolt Love, having a scrap almost with Joshua Kimmich on the touchline, and I think it was either Tuchel or one of his staff saying that wasn't for public view. Well, don't do it in the site for public. Then. I mean, that's the obvious answer to that.
Imagine getting doing a field sobriety test and vomiting during it. Going, well, that wasn't for public view. Well, you're still getting arrested, aren't you? Still getting a driving ban, aren't you? All right, then let's get out of here. Join us on Wednesday for the football ramble. Oh, it's a good show. Some of the things we might be talking about include Neil Warnock's signing to Aberdeen. Maybe he'll go for the job and call himself Neil Warnock for a laugh. Phil Brown's Kidderminster Revolution, and maybe a little bit of Champions League in there as well. In the meantime, you can find us on X, you can find us on TikTok, Instagram, and YouTube at Football Ram. That's how you can find us, and you also follow us on Spotify as well. We'll be back soon. Andy Brassel, thank you for joining us. Good evening.
Ciao for now.
Bye bye.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/
upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.